Jesus appears to his disciples. The 11 followers went to Galilee. They went to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. On the mountain, they saw Jesus and worshipped him, but some of them did not believe that it was really Jesus. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All the power in heaven and on earth is given to me. So go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world. This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you, God. Thank you, Max. If you want to follow that reading, it's on page 1001 in the Church Bibles, Matthew 28. All spring term here at St. Nick's in the morning service, if you've been coming regularly, you'll know that we've been preaching from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Mountain. Spent most of this term looking at his teaching there in Matthew's Gospel. There are, in fact, lots of mountains in Matthew's Gospel. A lot happens on mountains. And so before we go straight into the summer, as we on this Sunday after Easter, I wanted to finish with the final mountain in Matthew's Gospel, a different mountain, the mountain of commission. The reading began, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. But I want to start it with a different location firstly, not a mountain, but Cape Canaveral in Florida. Cape Canaveral, Florida, September the 5th, 1977. How old were you then? Many of you weren't even born. I was 2 years old. A rocket took off from Cape Canaveral, a rocket containing, alongside a lot of rocket fuel, a tiny space probe about the size and weight of a small car. Voyager 1. Got a picture of it behind me, or an artist's impression. It was the launch of a mission to explore the giant planets of our outer solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. You and I grew up thinking that Pluto was a planet too, but it's not anymore, hasn't it? It's been decommissioned or whatever. And then beyond. In fact, it began in 1977. On the 25th of August, 2012, 35 years later, it passed beyond the edge of our solar system and entered into stellar space, the first man-made object ever to do such a thing. It's still going. I checked on the NASA website. There's a page set up especially for it this morning. And this morning, it was 24.344 billion kilometers from Earth. It's now 46 years old. The computers that operate it have about 1 million times less memory than the phone in your pocket. In fact, since November, communications have become a little corrupt. It's been sending back a stream of nonsense back to Earth. But NASA engineers have recently announced that they've identified the problem. And not only that, but they think they can fix it from 24.344 billion kilometers away. It's still going. If 1977 was the launch of Voyager 1, which has exceeded all expectations in continuing to carry out its mission 46 years later, then in our passage this morning, Matthew's Gospel, we have the launch of another mission from a mountain, the mission of the Christian church. I think we can take down Voyager 1 now, Hannah, thank you. Jesus gathers his 11 remaining disciples at the end of his earthly ministry, and he commissions them. This passage is known as the Great Commission. And just as we might smile at the tiny amounts of computer power and the outdated, antiquated technology of Voyager 1, and yet still marvel that it's continuing in its mission, so too many people may be tempted to laugh at the beginnings of the Christian mission. The public ministry of a man which lasted no longer than 3 years, most of it in just an obscure backwater district of the Roman Empire, a man whose remaining 11 disciples were largely uneducated, they'd proved themselves thoroughly unreliable, a message of forgiveness and salvation through a shameful death on a cross. So fragile. Perhaps we think now so outdated, so certain to fail. And yet, today is Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. We join this morning with millions upon millions of Christians gathering together today who worship Jesus Christ as Lord, who serve others and seek to change the world in his name. The message about him has traveled around the world to every nation, his words translated into thousands of languages. Here at St. Nick's, we are the result of this mission. Someone, some people, brought the gospel to this country and to each one of us. We are the result of this mission that began here. And we're not just the result, we participate in this mission. Jesus' commission that we read this morning is for us, for the church, for every church, however small, fragile, outdated, antiquated we feel. Let's hear the mission brief again. Verse 19 of the passage, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's the brief. That's the challenge. That's the task. And either side of this brief are two promises, two assurances, which make this possible. Just before it, verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And just after it, Jesus says, verse 20, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And I don't know if you noticed, but there's a lot of alls in those verses. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And do this because I've been given all authority, and I will be with you always." And I want to add another all to those four alls in the passage. It's not explicitly here, but it is certainly implicit, certainly the case when we understand this in the context of Matthew's Gospel and the New Testament. My fifth all is this: this mission is for all of us. All of us. I heard a funny story about Spike Milligan, the comic. Someone asked him, "Spike, where are you from?" And he said, "London." "Oh," came the reply, "which part?" "All of me," Spike Milligan. "Which part of the church is the Great Commission for?" "All of us. Every part. It's not for just a particular department. It's not for the missionaries out there or just for the evangelists in here. It's for all of us. It's the mission that Jesus gave to his disciples, all of them, his followers, and the mission he intended them to pass on to the disciples that they would make, and so on down the centuries to us. Our mission, our turn. And of course, I'm well aware that we would much rather leave this to others, to those who seem better equipped or better disposed to mission. And I'm aware of that because I know you and I know me. We'd much rather leave this to others. But I want to think briefly about four things that we all need to take part, to take our part in this mission that Jesus gives to his followers. Four things. Firstly, we need to be humble. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's an outstanding claim. It's picking up of claims back in Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament of a kingdom that will last forever, of all authority be given to the one whom God has chosen. And Jesus claims this authority for himself. During his earthly ministry, the question about Jesus' authority came up regularly. When he taught, the crowds were amazed because he taught as one with authority. He claimed to have authority to forgive sins, if you remember, in the healing of the paralytic. He demonstrated his authority over evil as he commanded demons and healed sickness. He said he would have authority to judge at the end of time, authority to teach, to forgive, to save, to judge. Now in his dying on a cross and rising again, he demonstrates authority over death. And here he says, in fact, all authority given to him. During his earthly ministry, people were always questioning his authority. How can you say this? How can you make this claim? It was an affront to them. And our response to this is to be humble. Humble in our mission, because an arrogant mission is destined to fail. We go not on the basis of our authority, on the basis of his. Not to spread the good news about us, aren't we wonderful, but the good news about him. I'm sure we can all think of examples of arrogance in mission, both in church history down the years, or maybe in Christians that we've known with an unattractive, arrogant attitude. It's not just unattractive, it doesn't work. It's contrary to the gospel. We must be humble in our mission. But even before that, we have to humble ourselves before Jesus. Because just as it was among those in his earthly ministry who listened to him, so it can be very hard today to accept his claim, all authority. It goes against what our culture tells us, which is either that all religions are bad, or more commonly, that all religions are equal. A culture that's happy to allow Jesus some authority, but all nations, it goes against what our culture tells us. It goes against what we may feel within ourselves. It takes humility to humble ourselves before Jesus. It's not up to you and me to decide where he does or does not have authority. He's the Lord of life, risen from the grave, conqueror of death, savior of the world. And he says, all authority has been given to me. We need to acknowledge that he alone can make such a claim. We need to be humble. It takes humility. Secondly, we need to be available. Humble, available. Therefore, says Jesus, go. If you remember your physics lessons at school, you may remember the difference between centripetal and centrifugal force. You can come at the end and tell me whether or not you remember your physics lessons at school. Two forces, and there's a difference. Centripetal force is a force that acts towards the center, pulling you in. Centrifugal force is a force away from the center, pushing you out. I think it's how Dyson Hoovers work, but we could discuss that at the end. In the story of the Bible, in the movement, in fact, of the Bible, this, Matthew 28, is the point where centripetal force is overtaken by centrifugal force. Up until now, the center of the Bible has been Jerusalem, the temple, the presence of God, people and nations coming in, being drawn in. But now it's reversed and we are going out, pushed out, commanded, says Jesus, to go. That's the direction of travel from now on, outwards, always. That's the direction of travel. The distance we travel is less relevant. Jesus doesn't say anything about that. For some, this will mean and has meant, does mean, crossing the world. For some, it means crossing the street. We simply need to be available, wherever God sends us, ready to go into the place, towards the person, across the room, talk to the person on the other side. We need to be available to pray. Lord, I'm going to be going in all sorts of directions today, coming and going. Push me out. Push me out towards others, out of my comfort zone. Help me to be available wherever I go. We need to be humble. We need to be available. We need courage. You will know, just as I know, that being obedient to Jesus' command, making ourselves available, takes courage. And the further we go away from this building, the more courage it takes. It's safe here, amongst brothers and sisters, amongst friends. Out there, on your front line, the school gate, your office, wherever there is, courage is required. Think of any situation where you may need to speak up for Christ, to stand up for his ways. It takes guts. That's why this promise is so important. Surely, says Jesus, I am with you always. Go, he says, go. But don't worry, I'm coming with you. The book of Acts records the beginning of this mission as Jesus has begun it here in the end of Matthew's gospel. Mission beyond Jerusalem, out into the Roman Empire. In Acts 23, when Paul is on his way as a prisoner to Rome, which is both terrible for him but exciting because the gospel, the news, is going to Rome. This is moving out, being pushed out. We read as Paul worried about what lay ahead, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. In the night, he stood near Paul and said, take courage. Right at the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is on trial, he's been deserted by his friends. He writes this, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Take courage, says Jesus. I'm sending you out and going with you. We need to be humble, available. We need courage. And fourthly, we need the church. We need the church. This ancient, fragile, antiquated craft, so unlikely to have succeeded in its mission, we can hardly believe it's still going. But we need one another. None of us can, as Jesus says, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. None of us can do that on our own. Think of the baptisms, if you were here last week, on Easter Day at the back of church. They weren't the work of one person. Each one of those individuals, each one of those stories, a result of youth leaders and alpha helpers and worship team and welcomers at the back, even churchyard gardeners and preachers and pastors and generous givers. This is a team effort. We do this together as part of our gathered mission. Here is St. Nick's, each one of us playing our part. Each of us had a role to play in what we saw on Easter Day. We praise God for it. No glory to one person, all glory to God, but we amazingly playing a part. And so too in our mission, scattered out there on our front lines, we support, we encourage, we pray for one another. As we invite people to come on a Sunday, as we introduce them to Christian friends, we do this together. In this great commission, which Jesus gives to his church. Which part? Every part. We need to be humble, available, we need courage, and we need the church. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, risen Lord of life, conqueror of death, savior of the world, we humble ourselves before you. Take your rightful place in our hearts and minds here and in our church. We humble ourselves before the mission you have given us, your church. Help us to be available wherever we go. And help us to go out of here, out of our comfort zones, out into your world. Give us courage to speak up, to stand up for you, knowing that you are with us. And help us to do this together, each of us, all of us, to play our part, to take our turn in this great task you have set before us. We pray this in your name. Amen.